Hello, my name is Lily Chaudhry, and you're listening to Happiness Now, Secrets to Success from the East and West. This podcast is about empowering us to achieve happiness and success in every aspect of life, and we'll look at wisdom that's found in different cultures about this topic. These talks are based on the works of Qasim Ali Shah, and he's a renowned motivational speaker based in Lahore, Pakistan. Today, we're going to continue from our last episode, episode 25, where we're discussing Qasim Ali Shah's first book called The Message of Success. Again, this book is written in Urdu and unfortunately not available just yet in an English version. So I got my own translated notes from our very own writer. And as I mentioned last time, the premise of this book is that it argues that there is no mystery to the process of achieving success, that there are certain rules and laws that govern success. So we went through 5 chapters last time, and we'll talk about 5 more chapters in this episode, enlightening us to 5 more factors for achieving success. So one of the chapters in the book is about patience. And we all need to be reminded sometimes that our outward progress doesn't necessarily reflect or measure our inward progress. You know, there's a fascinating story of the Chinese bamboo tree that I want to share. Like any other plant, the growth of the Chinese bamboo tree requires a lot of time and effort and a lot of nurturing. You have to water it. It needs fertile soil. You have to tend to it. But in the case of this particular tree, in its entire first year, we see no visible signs of activity. And in the second year, again, no sign of any growth. The same goes for the third and the fourth years. Still, we'll see nothing. No tree whatsoever. So the tree farmer is definitely tested. His hard work seems to produce no results. Then comes year 5. After 5 years of hard work, of fertilizing and watering have passed, with nothing to show for it, the Chinese bamboo tree suddenly sprouts and grows. In the matter of just 5 to 6 weeks, the Chinese bamboo tree can grow up to an astonishing 90 feet. Now let's think about this. For those 4 years leading up to this 5th year, was there actually no growth? Did that tree lie dormant and then suddenly sprout? No, of course not. That little tree was growing underground, developing a strong unseen foundation. It was developing roots, a system strong enough to support its future growth in the 5th year. And it's said that if the Chinese bamboo tree farmers would dig up their little seeds every year to see if they were growing, they'd be stunting that tree in the same way that a caterpillar is doomed to a life on the ground if it's freed from its cocoon too early. You see, it misses out on that struggle, and it's that struggle that gives a butterfly the wing power to fly. So when we have dreams and goals, we have to be patient and continue to nurture and develop our roots and foundations, because every step or minute of effort makes a difference, and every step that we take makes an impact. And just because we don't see the signs of progress right away, we can't grow weary in working towards our dreams. We have to give it everything that we got, heart and soul. Growth is happening. The roots of what we are doing are taking hold. So our dreams, our successes can come true if we just don't give up. And many of us give up way too soon. And just like the Chinese bamboo tree, if we nurture and work hard towards our dreams, eventually, maybe months from now or years from now, we will see remarkable results. We just have to be patient enough to keep working at it while we're waiting for our success. The next chapter is about role models. Motivational speaker Jack Canfield says, to change bad habits, we must study the habits of successful role models. One of the most important reasons people fail is their lack of exposure to success. And by that, I mean they don't have role models. They don't know someone who has triumphed over challenges or gotten through something really difficult that's similar to what they've been through themselves. So they can get a feeling of hopelessness or uncertainty. A role model gives us a ray of hope in difficult times and also a benchmark to reach when we don't really know where we're headed. So role models can give us a direction and help guide us toward success. You know, I don't think I really had any role models growing up. I never really thought about it. But today I consciously make an effort to think about the people that I admire because I feel that if I remember them, I'll make better decisions in life. And one of my role models today is my cousin in Pakistan, Yasmin. I've mentioned her in a previous episode. And just to remind you, she's a super mom, an entrepreneur. She employs dozens of people, mostly women, helping them raise their families. And she's a glue that keeps her own family together. She's generous beyond belief, helping all those destitute people who come asking her for help. And when you live in a place like Pakistan, a developing country, you will always have people asking you for help. But I have other role models as well. You know, I greatly admire Hillary Clinton. She's an amazing example of a woman who works hard for a cause she believes in. And early in her career, she helped in the civil rights movement. She's done a lot of work for children's rights. And of course, her involvement in advancing important issues continued as her husband was in the governor's office and then, of course, in the White House. And through all this, she still had time to take care of her family. And all the while, I think she has kept it classy and elegant. And I know a lot of people might disagree with that. But personally, I would be happy if my own daughters strive to be like her. And of course, humanitarians like Abdul Sattar Eidi, who again we mentioned in an earlier episode, people like that are everyone's role model. I think I have certain criteria personally that I look for in a role model. And I narrowed it to four things. Number one, someone who has a dream for a better world where they could serve others and improve others' lives. Number two, they put in the grit and they didn't quit until they succeeded. Number three, they never strived for personal gain in the process. And number four, while doing all of these things, they had beautiful character. They were dignified and graceful. I mean, personally, I feel anybody who has these four characteristics is role model material to me. That's just my criteria. I'm sure I'm forgetting a few things that I'll think about later. But anyway. So when we have successful role models, we start taking clues from their lives. We model our own lifestyle after theirs. We try to imitate them. We start to feel and think like them. When we know that this really successful person did certain things in a certain way that made him or her successful, and we start to follow that person, we also start to believe, yeah, I can be successful as well. So if for some reason we didn't have role models while we were growing up, it's time to find them now. It's never too late. Okay, the third chapter we're going to discuss today is about facing your fears. The fear of failure inserts like this imaginary distance between us and our goals. It makes achievement look much further than it actually is. And as a result of our fears, our actions become half-hearted or ineffective. When we feel afraid of something, we won't use our full force. Something will always be holding us back. There's a great story from betterlifecoachingblog.com called Advice to a Young Buffalo. It's really cute. And I'll read it now. One day on the plains of Africa, a young buffalo approached his father and asked him if there was anything that he should be afraid of. The father responded, "Only lions, my son." "Oh yes, I've heard about lions. If I ever see one, I'll turn and run as fast as I can," said the calf. "No, that's the worst thing that you can do," said the large buffalo. "Why, they're scary and they'll try to kill me." The father smiled and explained, "Son, if you run away, the lions will chase you and catch you. And when they do, they'll jump on your unprotected back and bring you down." "So what should I do?" the calf asked. His father advised, "If you ever see a lion, stand your ground. Show him that you're not afraid. If he doesn't move away, show him your sharp horns and stomp on the ground with your hooves. If that doesn't work, move slowly towards him. And if that doesn't work, charge at him and hit him with everything you've got." "But that's crazy. I'll be too scared to do that. What if he attacks me?" said the startled young buffalo. Then the father said, "Look around, my son. What do you see?" The young calf looked around at the rest of his herd. There were about 200 massive beasts surrounding him with sharp horns and huge shoulders. "If you ever are afraid, my son, know that we are here. If you panic and run away from your fears, we can't save you. But if you charge towards them, we'll be right behind you. The young buffalo understood. He breathed deeply and nodded. So all of us have lions in our lives. There are aspects of life that scare us and they make us want to run away. But if we do, they'll just end up chasing us down and taking over our lives. Our thoughts will become dominated by the things that we're afraid of. And our actions become timid and cautious, and they don't allow us to reach our full potential. There's a Bible verse that I found that says, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So we have to face our fears, go head on to whatever it is that we've been avoiding and running from out of fear. Robin Sharma says, "The fears that we don't face become our limits." Okay, next, there's a chapter in this book where Qasim Ali Shah puts together those things that cause people to be happy versus the things that cause people to be unhappy. And he says that although it may seem strange, he believes that some people pursue happiness while there are other people who actually pursue unhappiness. So these are two lists that he's compiled, and some of these are just opposites of each other, but I'll read both to make it easier for us to see what camp we're on. Okay, the first list is ways to be happy or ways to pursue happiness. Number one, show gratitude. Number two, learn to ignore, learn to forgive. Number three, thank others for their service. Appreciate people. Number four, strive for a better life, but don't forget to thank God for the life that you already have. Number five, don't judge or label others. Number six, make a list of your favorite things and try to do at least a few of them every week. Number seven, have some of your most important goals in life written down on some sticky notes and put them on your laptop or your bed or your refrigerator, places that you will keep being reminded of them. And number eight, invest in relationships. This means giving time and effort and resources into having better relationships. Okay, the next list is ways to be unhappy or ways to pursue unhappiness. Number one, don't feel grateful for what you have. Always yearn for what's missing. Number two, being selfish. Be a loner. Don't take interest in the lives of those around you. Number three, always expect too much from others. Number four, make your happiness conditional. For example, don't be happy until you've achieved X, Y, and Z. Number five, don't see things as they are. Exaggerate. Number six, find faults. Do that every day. Don't miss any chance to complain. Number seven, don't do anything. Watch TV, stay on Facebook, and just keep planning that you'll do something. Number eight, forget that you're in your 30s or 40s or 50s. Act like a child. Okay. Some of these sound silly, but actually, if we sit and reflect, many times we are doing some of these things on this list. So I think we all need to be careful. Okay, the next chapter we're going to discuss from his book is called Know That There's a Real Difference Between a Winner's Mindset and a Loser's Mindset. I don't know if I like the word loser. But okay, let's see what he has to say. Okay, so first this chapter goes into how we can start changing our mindset, reminding ourselves that it doesn't matter what circumstances we are living in or what we've been through, whether we have resources or not, whether we have support from others or not. If we truly believe in our purpose and our ability to accomplish our purpose, we can be successful. So that's the main difference between a winning mindset and a losing one. Our potential, our talent, and energy are the most valuable resources any of us has. And we shouldn't let our life circumstances get in our way. We should live above our circumstances. We should be in control. With our focus being on the things that we can change, and equally important, that we need to change. And forget trying to change what is either not in our control or doesn't need to be changed. Remember, success comes from within ourselves. Okay, so let's get to some of the points. Okay, number one, losers get overwhelmed by problems because of their negative mindset, and they spend their time and energy on worrying about these problems. But winners, who are in lesser number, have a positive mindset. They focus instead on finding solutions to the problems they face, and eventually they win. Number two, losers are simply afraid of the game. They're content with just being spectators, and they spend their time criticizing and giving advice to others. The winner, on the other hand, dares, and he wants to be part of the action. Number three, losers aren't willing to pay the price of success, and they waste their time and potential on worrying about their circumstances. Winners create their own circumstances. Number four, winners use determination and persistence to make their dreams come true. Losers get knocked down at the first obstacle. Number five, the winner focuses on gains. The loser moans about his pains, which sometimes can be imaginary. Number six, winners have role models, and they follow the footprints of their role models. Losers don't deem anyone worthy of following. Number seven, winners drive the cars of their lives looking forward. Losers remain glued to the rearview mirror and they're tied to their past, so they can't accelerate forward. Number eight, losers start big, but they don't persist. Winners start small and they don't give up. And number nine, winners prepare themselves to win. They work hard and then they wait patiently for their success. And losers only wait. Again, I don't like saying losers, but I think it's just one way to distinguish between the mindset of those who are successful and of those who aren't successful. So those were five more chapters of Gautam Ali Shah's book, The Message of Success. We did five in our last episode as well. And as I said, this book isn't available in Urdu, which is one of the reasons we wanted to review it on the podcast. So from our two episodes, we covered 10 chapters of the book, and that gave us 10 factors important for achieving success. And this is just 10 out of the 50 that he writes about in the book. So these 10 are, number one, knowing that you can change the world. And this chapter was about confidence and self-belief. Number two, making the decision to change. Number three, having a purpose in life. Number four, being persistent, not giving up. Number five, having a balanced life. In this chapter, we discuss the seven or eight most important areas in life that need our effort. Number six, being patient when pursuing our dreams and goals. Number seven, having role models. Number eight, facing our fears. Number nine, knowing that there are sure ways to be happy and sure ways to be unhappy. And number 10, knowing there's a real difference between the mindset of winners and the mindset of losers. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you've enjoyed our podcast, please share it with others. And of course, feel free to share your comments and questions with us. You can message us on Facebook or visit our website at www.happinessnowpodcast.com. Until next time, I'm Lily Chaudhry. Please take care and take control.